On 20th September, 1859, 15 days after he suffered a grievous stroke on the foredeck of the Great Eastern, a steamship larger by sixfold than any ever built that he had designed and constructed, 13 days after that ship's launch from London's Isle of Dogs, embarked on a steam-driven crossing of an ocean, 11 days after a massive boiler explosion shot through his Great Eastern, killing 8 stokers, catapulting the ship's 9-ton funnel into the air and dispatching her, now crippled, back to harbour. 5 days after his death was announced to the world, the casket of Isambard Kingdom Brunel was lowered by winch into the family plot in Kensal Green. There it would rest, parallel to that of his father, Sir Mark Isambard Brunel, who had some 10 years previous likewise passed away of stroke. The tackle blocks of the lowering winch were built on a machine designed by the elder Brunel, as were such blocks everywhere. This was a family that knew how to make things, and how to make things work. Isambard Kingdom Brunel's funeral was attended by his friends, his family, his collaborator, John Scott Russell, FRS, a legion of dock workers, and an army of train men, perhaps 1,000 all told, assembled to pay tribute to the man who, in addition to the Great Eastern, had previously constructed the Thames Tunnel, the Great Western Railway, the Hungerford Bridge, the pneumatic atmospheric railway from Exeter to Newton, and Paddington Station, too. The funeral oration was delivered by Sir Daniel Gooch, Superintendent of Locomotive Engines for the Great Western Railway, who said, in summation, that great things are not done by those who sit down and count the cost of every thought and act. It was intended as tribute to Brunel, who had been, at his death, trembling on the very lip of accomplishing one of his grander dreams. And perhaps as a knowing rebuke to Scott Russell, Brunel's co-builder and financier, who had for 7 years quarrelled fiercely with Brunel over that dream's expense. All funerals are sad, and to say one funeral is sadder than another is folly, as grief cannot be quantified. But this particular funeral had aspects that were uniquely dolorous. Brunel's stroke had cast a long pall on the launch 2 days subsequent. And now, on the 20th September, no one here on Kensal Green assembled could augur when Brunel's grand dream, the Great Eastern, would make her crossing. When, or even whether. Sir Daniel's oration emphasized Brunel's earlier accomplishments, the railway, the station, the bridge, to the neglect of his more recent, arduous, calamitous venture. And so the army of trainmen in attendance, who owed their livelihood in large part to Brunel, were pleased by the oration, as was Scott Russell, who had been bankrupted by the Great Eastern Project, and was relieved that its failure, and his own, were not that day thrown in his face. What Brunel and Scott Russell had in 1851 envisaged as the work of 1 year became the work of 8. Those 8 years had broken Scott Russell, and, it was now being said, had killed Brunel. There had been no words from his frozen throat, no flicker of expression on his frozen face, still as Arctic ice, when Brunel received the news of the explosion that had sent his creation back to its birth. But among the mourners in Kensal Green, it was assumed without serious dispute that the news had broken his spirit, that his mind had willed his heart to cease. A decision from the bridge, transmitted by engine order telegraph, to pass from dead slow ahead to stop.